cliffcentral.com. Yes, good morning. Hi. Hello, all seven of you listening to the show. What's up? It's Friday, the 2nd of December. Holy shit, it's December already. Guys, what has happened to 2016? I can tell you what happened to 2016. 2016 hit some crazy nyaupe, and now it's near the end. That's what happened to 2016. So, second week in a row that Dave Levinson is not with us. Wow. This means that I am in charge now. I have taken over. I'm that guy from Captain Phillips. Look at me. Hey, I'm the captain now. This is my ship. And when I say on my ship goes, if I tell you to walk the plank, you will walk. I don't even care if we have a plank or not. You are walking it. I'm jumping in the water. I'll pull you back in because I like humoring myself like that. So, what's happening? Today in studio, I've got two guests again. Last week, we had like 9. So, all our listeners were in studio last week. So, nobody downloaded last week's podcast. It was a weird time. But it was awesome, man. It was awesome. Today in studio, we have Mr.
What's up, guys? I'm Vuyisa Xaba.
Amazing, amazing. And who are you in the world of the world?
No, I'm just a random guy trying to be a comedian, doing jokes. You know what I do.
Did you say doing drugs or doing jokes?
Both.
Okay. Lovely things. Lovely things. We've got the most entertaining people here today. Next to him, we have Mr.
How's it? I'm Paul Cowan.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm the, like, the redheaded stepchild, bottom of the class from the Durban kind of underground revival crew.
Yeah.
So I sort of started with the guys that have made it huge now, and I'm still trying to find my feet, I guess.
Still trying to find
your way. I don't want to name drop too much, so I'm just going to...
Smart move.
There's seven people were put together, the dots. And then,
all about name dropping, man. Okay, all about, all
so
about.
So I started with Carvin, Neil, Dusty, Robbie,
nice.
Simi,
nice.
Jim.
Yeah,
they've all done much better than I have.
So. The way you said it, though, man, it sounds so depressing. Like, much better.
No, it's like, it's more of a big ups to them. Like, they've kind of shown me at least a path and like where I've gone wrong by showing me where I should have gone right.
You know what I mean?
Like,
I feel it.
It's cool. I mean, everyone's got to find their own way.
No, that's true.
So this is my journey. I'm figuring it out my own way, and I think I'm finally starting to make progress in that. So that's
dope
cool,
stuff,
man.
Yeah. Dope stuff. Mm. And you, Vui, what have you been doing in the world of comedy?
Well, in the world of comedy, I've been doing gigs.
Nice. Well, I mean, that would be the custom thing.
It's the weirdest
part. It would be weird. It would be like, my comedy career is booming. I've been working at McDonald's for the past 3 months.
This is gathering source material. I'm working on my jokes.
I'm putting jokes in the puns now.
He's on a roll. Oh, no. Oh, the puns have started
The puns have started. Damn it.
It's on fire.
Easy how you do that. Yeah, so, gig-wise?
I've been like trying to find myself as well. You know, still consider myself a young comedian. And I've been, excuse me. I don't know what that is. I've been, hey, don't read my notes.
Okay.
Those are personal notes.
Okay, yeah. You've been doing what?
Yeah, and I've also been like doing my other passion as well, which is TV production
as well.
So I'm trying to like mix the two one day and strategizing. But yeah, comedy as well is like my first passion.
TV show maybe?
You know, you never know, but these days you got to start on YouTube first, you know,
Internet is the way to go now. that's true. What have you worked on that we know about?
That you know about?
Us being the seven people listening. And Paul.
Eight now.
Yeah, we've got a new listener.
Did you do Matt's Lid?
Huh?
Did you do Matt's Lid?
Sometimes.
Okay, no one... We're not judging. We're all friends,
No. I did pure maths. I just don't know why. I still haven't used algebra in my daily life. I still haven't had to solve for x. I'm still waiting to use a polynomials.
Polynomials.
There we go.
I almost said polyester.
No, I use polyester on the regular. It's in my clothes. I have to use it. Yeah, so...
you, of course, worked with me as well on MTV's You Got God.
You Got God. Oh, yeah.
Eric was pranking people. Doing
craziest things.
Doing the dirtiest pranks. His signature pranks always involved him with the condom on. This is quite weird.
Not wearing.
A condom on where?
He is
on
a condom where, on.
Like
no,
on the
I
head.
Just, I just had a condom
on the other
with
head.
Me at all times.
The condom was present.
You look like a guy that needs condoms. Like they were saying, I'm not safe for work.
Okay.
So they're just like, take this with you. Be protected
out there
in your life. Yeah, I don't know
stop
why. Like that was the weirdest thing. Doing You Got God, all the pranks. Well, not all, like three. How many did I do? I did did like seven.
Yeah.
And of the seven, six of them involved me having a condom person.
Do you not think, though, that this is more like a meta prank? Like, the prank was actually on you. No one ever told you or the production.
Don't tell him.
Like this is actually our reveal now. Welcome to You Got God, Eric Johnson.
You Got
this
God.
This is our final reveal. We're revealing, you know, the joke was actually on you.
And all those
the whole thing was a statement on your sexual proclivities.
That's funny. Yeah, no, so I just had a condom with me, like six of the seven pranks. I was just like, guys, I'm safe. Trust me. I'm
Are condoms
safe.
Like a natural part of the Mer people's kind of culture?
Oh, here we go.
Oh, shit. It's coming out on Cliff Central. So, the story behind this Mer thing, let me explain it to the good people of Cliff Central and people that are listening. What happened was, the other day I got to the club because, as you know, I work at the Goliath Comedy Club. And I rock up and Jason Goliath walks out and he sees me and he goes, yo, ah, man, I'm so happy to see you. So I'm like, why, what's up? He goes, no, because I heard about all the floods that were happening in the East Rand. And yeah. I was worried that you could have been involved and maybe you were like underwater something with your car or something. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm fine. He's like, oh, yeah, but then I remembered you also half mermaid, so you would have swam right out of all of that thing.
You have a valid point.
Oh, now that's a valid point. For sec. I've hit my gills well, man. Yeah, so then, like, since then, people like Paul and others have just been begging on the fact that I'm partially mermaid. I got it from my mother. I'm sorry.
No, it happens though. It's okay. You don't choose this life.
Yeah, I didn't choose to look like this.
The mer people life chooses you.
You guys are silly, man. You guys
Destiny.
Are silly. Yeah. So guys, like, this is the podcast. We ask you random questions. We ask you things just to keep the conversation going. Sometimes we have people on WeChat that message us, but it looks like they're not interested today. It's December.
We need to be more interesting. You know?
No. It's December. I mean, but like, let's talk about that. The year's been crazy.
It's mad.
In terms of comedy, just in terms of life in general.
Mad, yeah.
What has been happening in the world this year?
Do we have time for a recap for the whole
we
thing?
We can do a recap. I mean, it's the beginning of December.
I want to say, like, I read this thing the other day, or I watched the video. It was quite cool. It has this whole scientific theory about how we may actually be living in a simulated universe, and, you know, we're all just like information in a computer, you know, like, sort of like the Matrix style. Yeah. And I just wanted to say, if it is true, to the people that are running it, like, can you switch it off and on again quickly? Because
we need a reset. Bro. We need a reset. It's not working.
We're in the wrong timeline. Somewhere along the line,
this is a virus. This is a virus.
Yeah.
2016 was a dud. Let's be honest. Like, and we'll never forget it as well. I feel like too much ish just happened.
Too many people died this year. Firstly,
yeah. Mm.
Too many great people died, guys.
Legends of the game.
We lost musicians and other people.
It's nice to hear you saying that, like, as a young person, though, because I was starting to think that this is something that's always sort of happened every year, and I'm just noticing it more now because it's like celebrities that I know. And
It's more mainstream.
I'm getting old now.
Like on the way here, because like traffic was so hectic this morning, like it was bumper to bumper. I was sitting there since like 7:30. Mm. I'm looking through News 24 and I saw one of the actors in Fawlty Towers. You guys know Fawlty Towers? One of the actors also passed away. I was like, guys,
what show is this?
Fawlty Towers.
Yeah.
You don't know Fawlty Towers?
Youth comic. This is a youth comic.
I'm a youth comic as well, but I know Fawlty Towers. What are you doing?
I'll do my research, guys. Okay, let's not point fingers at anyone.
Fawlty Towers was the most amazing
thing. Andrew Sachs.
The guy
that played Manuel. Yeah.
He was like the butler guy in the series. And it was, dude, like, funny things. Do you remember Mind Your Language?
Oh, yes, of course.
It's a similar thing, yeah. So Fawlty Towers Hotel, so they're just sorting out guests and stuff. But, you know, slip-ups and mess-ups and misdirection and leading of wrong information.
Oh,
this is funny, yeah. Yeah, and then I'm reading through and I'm like, what? This guy passed away as well? This is sad. This is sad, man.
Yeah, no, it doesn't seem to want to stop, man.
And there's still, what, 29 days left in this motherfucker? You guys can swear if you want to swear.
Can we?
But don't be, like, just swearing now from now on. Just every now and again.
Too late. F-bomb.
It's the most polite middle class swearing I've ever heard. How F-bomb.
What the F-bomb?
Beep.
Don't beep yourself. That's wrong.
I'm joking. It's uncensored radio.
There we go.
I can read.
I was led to believe that there might be beer involved. Was that...
You see, yeah, I was going to get to that now. So what happens is normally when...
Because I'm thirsty.
When
I'm,
Dave is here, I'll buy a beer afterwards. When Dave is here, he brings beer to the studio. And then at 9:30, he opens them. So like you hear the...
Yeah.
And then he just starts pouring them. And then he goes, it's breakfast beer time. Yay. And then a song plays. But like I'm on a budget.
You just bring... And Dave Brew is a bit expensive.
My
let's
man,
not lie.
It's
you know,
craft beer. Yeah. I do not have 120 rand just lying around. I think it's a special price for me. I think everyone else...
120 rand a beer.
Yeah, I think everyone else pays like 40 bucks. But he's like, hey man, I'm selling it to you for a special price.
A smart man.
Your people are going to love you for this. My people is like, yeah, the moment.
Yeah,
such an asshole.
Maybe it's a good thing in Nigeria though. Because I've got like work after this. And I'm not sure you can walk in just... pumped. I'm not sure people like that. My colleagues might not respect me.
That's the way to start this. It's Friday. It's the beginning of December. You should set the tone. Just be like, guys, if you think it's going to be any less than this, you're mistaken.
It only gets better.
You're mistaken. So what are you working on now? You're saying you have to go to work? What's happening at work?
We did like a little production thing for Vuzu, a reality show on creatives and stuff. And like we're wrapping that up.
Is that the one Bongani Dube is involved?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's the one he didn't win.
Let's see. Spoiler alert.
No, it's out.
It's done.
The season was finished.
I don't have the SDV anymore, so I don't know.
Even Compact Nyana.
Next. My people disconnected it. They're just like, you spend way too much time at home. I'm like, but this is my life. I'm supposed to be at home.
You need to get out the water. And,
Yeah, I mean, underwater DSTV is so whack. Just fish all day.
What do you do?
What do? I coast, man. That's my thing. Yeah, so you guys are doing the show?
Yeah, no, so we're wrapping that up now.
Yeah.
The reunion will be playing this Saturday.
Okay.
Where everyone comes back and speaks shit and stuff.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fun.
That's nice.
And then we did some stuff for Bacardi, the house party. I think I heard about
that. Oh, yeah, I heard about it.
That was so insane.
That's nice.
But yeah, now that's being edited out as well now and... Yeah.
Fun times.
It's awesome, man. I'm living the dream.
You know? I wish I had your life. Your life sounds rock and roll. My life involves waking up at 9. So, like, the time I got you is normally the time I wake up. Then I go to gym. And then, I wait until 7 o'clock the night to go to comedy. Then I get to comedy, I perform, and then I leave at 9. Go home, I eat. Well, I eat in between, like...
This has been a riveting broadcast, I must say.
You know, like, this is the life. Like, he's like, I have to go to work. We get to edit
just
stuff.
Make something up.
Sometimes I do the occasional
midday crime farting.
Bath. Yeah, no, I have to wash sometimes because you can't smell like gym the whole day.
Yeah,
gym stinks. And then, that's my day. And yourself, what do you do, Paul?
I work in an office at the moment, man. I actually work for a company that sells accommodation online. Safarinow.com.
Online and, accommodation.
That's just supporting the comedy habit, you know, because comedy is more of an addiction, I think, at some point, you know, like, I should stop, no, I can't stop this. I need more validation.
I love strangers.
I'm a weak soul, and I need the ego boost.
I love strangers, and strangers need to love me.
Yeah, exactly.
Please, strangers.
So I'm just touring now. I'm here till next week, Sunday.
Awesome.
I did Steamworks on Wednesday, Ridgeback last night.
Yeah.
I'm doing Pop Art on Sunday.
Okay.
Then Poppy's Monday, Kitchener's Tuesday. Wednesday, Keg and Beagle.
That's correct, yeah.
And then Thursday to Saturday, I'm at the Goliath Club.
Comedy Club.
Nice. So looking forward to it, man.
Nice. Fun times, man.
Yeah, man. It's been cool.
Fun times. So like you're saying, do you think it's a good thing for comedians to do that? Have a job and do comedy if they're not doing comedy full time?
Yeah. Look, I've thought about it quite a bit. It's a difficult balance because, like, you've got to eat, you know. And comedy doesn't always pay well, especially when you're open micing.
Yeah.
You
know? Doesn't pay at all.
I would know that.
We would know.
And I've also thought like about you know, can you make it as an artist while you're also working a day job and that sort of thing. And the what I found in my particular story is that I got to quite a good point in my career before I started doing comedy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't working, you know, just a kind of survival job.
Yeah.
So now I've got used to a lot of creature comforts based on the career, and I'm trying to figure out at what point can I, you know, pull the chain and jump across.
And jump, yeah.
Yeah, but it'd probably be at least in another year or two. Okay. I'm guessing, man. Like, I'm only after rebuilding from my move to Cape Town. I'm only kind of getting to support level now nationwide.
Okay.
Which is a cool place to be.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough to really support yourself.
To build, you know? Yeah. Build something on. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So cool. it's I'm stepping back into the game kind of bit by bit. Yeah.
That's fun. That's fun. So you said you originally from Durban, but you reside in Cape Town now.
Yeah, yeah. I started in Durban in 2007.
Okay.
Glenbo came back from England, decided he wanted to live there instead of Joburg, and we kind of met through friends of friends, and he started up a Durban scene.
Yeah.
There was very little going on back then. There were, Carvin, I think, was running one or two things with the Laughing Stock guys and that. And I started with them, and then I kind of watched, I stayed doing my thing, and then watched Dustin, Simeon, Robin, all of them kind of taking off.
Okay.
And then about 3 years ago or so, I had like quite a bad motorbike accident.
Oh, shit.
And then there was like a turning point in my life. I was recovered for about a year and a half, you know, like it was a hectic accident. So it was like a turning point in my life. And I thought after that, if I want to make it in the comedy game as well, I've got to change something, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, move somewhere. I thought about Joburg, but the pace was a bit hectic for me, especially just after recovering from that. So I thought, let me go to Cape Town. There's a bit of a thing happening
this
there.
This thing's happening there.
They'd always been nice to me when I toured there before, so let's try that.
Yeah.
And that was 2 years ago, and I'm kind of building up from there.
Climbing the ladder.
Yeah,
Nice, man. Nice. That's cool. What is the difference in scene, though? Because, I mean, you've played Durban, you've played Cape Town.
Yeah.
Is there a big difference in scene? Or?
Look, each city's got their own kind of local culture references that don't always translate so well.
Okay.
And then there's that sort of shared national identity as well that you know, that does translate well. Yeah. So I think that's a mistake some of the guys make. Not always a mistake, maybe that's the wrong word, but they localize their material quite heavily because it's a quick route to laughs, or it's just the only way they know or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the first time you tour, you find out, oh, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Or they don't know about that.
They don't know. Oh, okay.
They don't know who that person is. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
So then you've got to kind of, I don't want to say internationalize, but sort of a nationalize, you know, your material.
You have to go Julius Malema. Is that legal? We're allowed to say that on the show, aren't we? Melissa, yeah, no, she doesn't know.
Okay, we know Stone Swenson.
If he comes in here with a whole bunch of people wearing red jumpsuits, you can send him to my house.
It's
I love
fine,
him in Foxburg. We'll be
fine as long as you don't say his name three times, because then, and you look in the mirror, then it's over. Bro.
That is a Candyman reference.
You can see him coming into your mirror, and then when you turn around, he's there as well.
Sure.
He's like, why are you talking about material? Why is it not for everybody? No, it's a problem.
And you'll be there at the door, FIFA, for fun. I smell the blood of a white man. And then you guys will be taken down as collaborators with me, bro.
I'm not taking the fault. No.
No, we're interrogating him. We're getting the
there's
truth.
Water. I can transform into a fish. I'm in that bottle. I don't know you.
See, when the mermaid reference works in your favor, then it's fine. Now it's fine.
Then it's fine.
You got no backbone.
Oh.
It suits you, Eric. Oh,
swap sides. I'm a scaly motherfucker.
I can see you supporting Man United and Liverpool or something like that.
No. Why?
Because you're just everywhere, aren't you?
Yeah. I watch soccer, if you must know. I watch soccer.
That's the one with the round ball.
Yeah.
You kick it with your legs?
Yeah,
but the kicking is there's lots of ones you kick. You know, it's a round one, and then there's that funny egg-shaped one.
Yeah.
NFL.
The one where 20... No, yeah, that one as well.
Okay,
where 23 guys fight over another man's egg. It's amazing. And they punch each other, and some of them have weird ears. Fucking crazy.
But what's your favorite city to perform in?
I would have to say... Yeah, actually. Because, like, I've been to Cape Town.
Mm.
I've only been here in Cape Town. And performing in Cape Town was different, but it was cool because one, the armchair that they have in Cape Town, it translates as Kitchener's here. Because it's a big student, it's a big student hub.
Yeah.
People that are there aren't really uptight about anything. They understand life.
Yeah,
they're
very
not
cool.
Too privileged or too rich and shit. So they come there and they don't have high expectation. They don't expect Trevor Noah quality shit.
Yeah.
It's just like, you know what, if you're funny, will understand you.
Mm.
Yeah.
But then I played the Cape Town Comedy Club, and that was just internationals. So it was like, I went overseas, but to all the countries.
Then I was just like,
what's happening? Oh, yeah. And then people are just like, we do not understand.
So you got any local jokes?
And I was just like, and I left all my American jokes at home.
Yeah.
They're playing PlayStation as we speak. and I'm here dying on my ass.
That's when it helps to be someone like Dave, because then you just make up some cock on the spot. And
Dave
and
rambles. Not on the show. I'm going to say this every time.
He rambles like a miner, and then sometimes he hits like an ore of gold, and then he's like, okay, I'm staying here. I'm staying here. Yeah. This is good.
I'm going to say this every time Dave isn't here. When Dave does the show,
Dave
sits here, I normally sit somewhere else. Mm. So he starts speaking. So like at 9:05 when we normally start, he speaks for like 10 minutes. Then at 20 past, he's like, in studio today, I've got, I'm like, Eric Janssen. And then that's my only line until at least 9:45.
So you're enjoying getting some actual airtime for us.
Yucky speaking.
This is weird. I'm hearing my voice. This is incredible. Oh. Yeah, so then I'm sitting here, and then he'll ask me a question. And as I'm about to answer, he'll change it to like one of the guests. Levinson.
Just like that.
I'm going to go on YouTube. It's weird, man.
So the king is dead. Long live the king.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is why I said I am the captain now. Yeah.
For now.
He's probably going to be back next week. Yeah. And he's going to give me shit because he's probably listening to this now.
Yeah.
Because he's doing the Durban run now, actually. Like the end of the week. Thing. Do you know about that? How does the
I honestly haven't been keeping too much in touch with the guys in Durban. I'm trying to organize because I'm doing this tour now, and then I'm doing some more shows when I get back to Cape Town, and then I'm heading up to see my friends and family in Durban like just before Christmas.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to put together a show at the Bat Centre on the 23rd, but it's not like 100% confirmed yet. So. Okay.
Who do you have in the lineup, or who do you think you're going to have in the lineup?
So far, it'll be myself, Neil Green, I think Bob Perfect, and Bob's actually doing the lineup. So
he's the person to host.
Yeah.
Okay, no, cool.
So now it's not finalized yet, but it should be happening, and we're going to do like a Christmas charity drive. We're going to bring a toy and
that's dope.
For the kids, and then all the extra money will go to the kids as well. And, yeah,
that's nice.
It's trying to make a small difference.
Yeah, it's crazy.
But yeah, I haven't kept too close with the guys that are building the scene up now, because it's basically Jim and with On Fire, mm-hmm. and then Carvin, I think, has got his group is called The Agency.
Yeah, The Agency, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think the one is now weekly, and you know, they've got New York and Amsterdam that run once a month, or I think something like that. Yeah. So they've worked a lot to bring the scene up and build it up to a point where they can string together like sort of 7-8 shows in a row, 7-8 days, and then you can start like flying people in and okay, you play the run.
Yeah, you're doing the run and you're doing the
local guys kind of tag on with you, you know. So they've worked really hard to build the scene up. Like a big ups to them on that.
That's dope.
I went the easy route and just moved. As every Durban act has done before me.
Come to Joburg, the city of gold.
I'm not ready for that yet, man. Like, have you heard the names? Have you done gigs outside of Joburg?
I did Armchair the one time as well. Armchair? And I loved it because it was my first time performing out of Gauteng.
Yeah.
And my friends were there as well from Cape Town, who had only seen pictures of me performing comedy, but never seen it live.
No, I don't know what's happening. This picture looks lit.
So they don't know if I was dying or doing well or not. So.
They don't know if it was ha ha or ha ha.
Please stop.
Yeah.
So how was it? What was the experience?
It was great. Like it was tough at first. Like I felt like the crowd was
against you.
I don't want to make excuses, but I felt like they were
be honest.
No, they were a bit tired at first, but then I went to myself and I said, you know what, this is my only first time in Cape Town, I'm just gonna go full crazy, and it turned out quite good. They warmed up to me and I had a fun time.
Nice. Yeah, no, the same thing happened to me, because like I got there on the night that I was there, Gino's hosting.
Yeah,
there was some guy from Netherlands that went on before I did.
Okay.
And I think Milo Hot Chocolate was on.
Yeah.
He was up first, and then I went on after the guy from Netherlands. And I mean, just like, you know what, guys, I'm not from here, so if you don't understand me, it's okay. I get it. Are you guys
When you did it, did you speak with the
No, it was before I found out about my mermaid roots. Yeah, sure. Yeah. So like I did the thing and they loved it.
Yeah.
But the thing is, that night there were like only 6 people in the audience.
Yeah.
Because it was near the end of December. No, beginning of December. It's like the 14th. So people had either gone to a party.
Armchair is totally random. It's the most random club, comedy club, I think, that I've ever seen. Because, like you said, sometimes there's 6 people, sometimes there's 50 people. And sometimes it's just locals. Sometimes there's, you know, there's a lot of Swedish kind of foreign students. Yeah. And it's always Swedish people for some reason. But, you know, sometimes half the crowd doesn't speak English that well. And then you're like, oh, why am I dying? And you're, oh, yeah, I forgot. Hello? And no one responds. Like, okay, that's
my Malema. And then, hey, why are you not nationalizing your material? Oh, that's what I didn't do.
So, but at the comedy club.
So ridiculous. Yeah.
At the Cape Town Comedy Club as well, you get the same effect. You know, sometimes there's a lot of internationals, and sometimes it's locals. So, I think that aspect of not always knowing exactly what audience you've got helps you, like, know that you have to keep on your toes a little bit and be ready to kind of, you know, change. Pad your material in different ways to make it work for, make you know, it, change the context, basically. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I actually love about crowds like that, being so diverse and stuff. Because, you know, you don't want to be only good to one market, you know, like, of people.
Yeah, you want to be able to play to everybody.
Yeah, you got to be versatile in comedy. And I feel like that type of crowd, different races, different nationalities. I mean, it's so good for like everyone, the crowd, the comedians, and you learn in those nights.
Absolutely. And I mean, the saying I've always used is the sharpest swords are forged in the hottest fires, which is the kind of thing someone says after that bomb. You know?
Speaking about bombing. Every comedian's worst nightmare.
That's hilarious. Yeah, the most profound things come from the worst points of my life.
Yeah,
that night. So what happened, man? Ah, you know,
the crowd.
Sometimes it helps to be a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
What does that even mean?
You'll find understand.
Out. And then he dies the next week and he's like, double-edged sword. I get it.
Again, the double-edged sword being the preferred weapon of the mer people. We're not letting up on this thing.
We use spears, man. Like, I don't know what the spears.
Oh, my bad, my bad, my bad.
As well. Yeah. It's weird.
I'm learning.
Yeah, man, that's what happens. And then, I don't know, like, just off topic. You guys watch soccer, yes?
Of course.
Did you guys see the goal of that goalkeeper?
Oh, yes. That's like one of the best goals of the season.
I don't want to feel like I'm left out, so I'm just going to say yes.
I'm going to show you this video right now, even. Okay. Just so that you can understand this thing.
We should probably talk while the video is...
Yeah, no, we're going to be talking. It'll be weird.
Like 5 minutes of silence. We'll be back, and then we just...
And then you can hear the... Yeah, in the background, just...
Maybe it's suspense. You never
know.
And
that's just my cousin.
Is this the Pirates thing?
Yeah.
I heard about it.
It's gone viral.
It was like, the dude just...
This video is like the most lit thing on earth.
Everyone went into the boxes. Okay, you guys talk. I'll watch.
In the last minute.
In the last
95th minute.
Extra time.
Keepers only go out then in corners to challenge. I don't know why they do that.
No. The thing is, what they do is they're trying to defend the point. Because remember, they were 1-0 down.
Yeah.
So what the keeper does is he goes up to be an extra man in the box that isn't marked. So if they can't mark him, he's going to try and score just to get the equalizer. Or if they level, he tries to score the winner. Just to get 3 points or 1 point, not to lose.
I guess his mere presence as well in there makes defenders
but
wary.
It's his time to jump as well, because if he fucks up, he has to run back. You know how far that is, dog. I was a goalkeeper for like 2 days.
So I just want to make sure I got the terms right. That was the goalkeeper.
That was a goalkeeper.
And he scored a bicycle kick. That's like when you're on the Xbox and you just jam all the buttons, but you're just like, wah, 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 and then something crazy happens and you look at your friend like, yeah, I meant that.
That was on purpose. I did that on purpose. That's like your girlfriend scoring a free kick against you in FIFA.
Oh.
Who told you to do this? Where did you learn this move?
Because I can't even do that.
Dog, I struggle.
Top corner.
I struggle, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like, there was a reference I had in my head to doing this thing. Goalkeepers going the bicycle kick. That's like, you know, on a night, sometimes it happens where you go to a club and you see these established guys and they're doing their thing, but they're tanking. Call it what it is. I've seen this. I've had this myself.
Yeah.
And then you, as the open spot, rock up and you're like, you know what? Can I do 5?
Yeah.
They're like, hey, it's rough out there. Are you sure you want
to? Yeah.
I mean, I'm here. I drove all the way here. Let me do my 5. And you do your 5 and you
knock it.
Destroy the place. And you just walk off stage. You don't even say anything to anybody. You just walk off stage going, okay. That's nice. And then the guy that goes on after you has to do the thing, and then they give you the looks
when they come off.
Yeah, they come off stage and they're like,
it looks like you either want to have sex with me or you want to kill me. One of the two.
What is it?
I'm getting a meal or my butt is hurting in the morning. One of the two.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe it's different, like different vibes and different energies.
Yeah.
Not in that kind of comic, unknowable sense, but like your pace of delivery and
your flavor
is different. to their flavor. And if the crowd doesn't want, you know, curry, then why, you don't want to give them more curry. You want to give them ice cream, you know, or something. Like,
that's such a nice reference.
So, as much as there's skill involved in, as much as there's, well, I'm from Durban, so it's some curry or
curry
ice cream.
Curry was the first review. Yeah, no.
Oh, shit.
Until they make ice cream curry, I will not be satisfied.
There was that, was it Bubble Boy, that curry, ice cream.
You're both making me very hungry right now.
Don't worry, we'll sort you out after this.
But the point is, like, you can have different levels of skill in that, but you can, there's still different flavors and styles in comedy, so... You know, you can be the best dry comic in the world, but if the crowd's not into
feeling
that
dry humor,
then you're gonna die.
You're definitely gonna die.
And then if the next guy that comes on is that manic crazy energy, even if he's not as good at his thing as you are at yours, he's gonna do better than you because you know, it's different flavors.
Different flavor. Ah, yeah, that's cool, man. Shit.
That I could just be saying that because I'm not at the skill level that I need to be.
No. The thing is,
I think there's some truth in there.
That's the thing. A lot of people think just because you don't have the experience in something, you can't have an opinion. Mm. And you can't have a point of reference to go, look, this is how I feel about it. I don't know if you see it the same way. Mm. But then they normally go, yeah, no, you're talking nonsense. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't done enough gigs. You haven't done this. You haven't done that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
But they're lashing out because they died.
Yeah, and they're lashing out because...
We used to have a bit of a tradition at Armchair. When a comic goes on and they start dying, we used to get a crowd to... We were talking about with it earlier.
Yeah.
Gino,
Gino would... It was my first night there at Armchair, my first and only night, and Gino told the crowd, if a comic is dying, let them know by singing bomb, 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 bomb.
Didn't they do
bomb, bomb,
Ozone?
Bomb, bomb.
This sounds like Ozone. I've never been to Ozone, but I've heard the stories.
Yeah.
Like, the audience knows when you are dying. They just all start singing bomb, 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 bomb. Until you leave.
Or the comics in the back at Armchair, if someone's dying and the crowd's just quiet, and then... Either you know when someone's dying when the comics at the back are laughing and the crowd is quiet,
or the
comics at the back are like, like a bomb. Yeah.
That's funny. That's so funny. No, it happens. It happens here as well. But like, they just say random shit.
Yeah.
So like, you'll be dying and then you'll introduce a new topic like, and then you'll get guys just going, oh, really? Is this what you want to talk about?
That was a smooth segue.
Beautiful segue. Yeah, now you're just catching the... Yeah. It does wonders for your confidence.
Self-esteem. You're just like, all right, my peers...
You feel great. Like, there's no character building here. You guys are all about the destruction of my career. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, man.
Nah, it's wild out here, man. It's wild doing comedy. What is the biggest thing you've learned doing comedy so far in the years that you've been doing this thing?
Biggest thing I've learned is probably about being fearless. You actually cannot let your emotions take over you. Like, before you go on stage, I feel like you just have to not think about too much of the consequences or what might happen, and just go for it, man. Like, don't be scared. Even like about going first and stuff. Like, I've been to a few gigs where no one wants to go first.
Throw you in the deep end.
Yeah, because it's difficult. The crowd isn't...
Yeah, they're not ready. They don't know what's going to happen. They're not sure if they should be laughing yet, if they're supposed to be laughing at what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah, because my life motto has always been difficulties do not dismay me. It's like a thing I learned in school and stuff. Yeah. Well, we're getting deep here.
Another man who died recently.
Yeah. The profound words are coming out.
The profoundness comes from deathness.
It's experience talking now.
I feel you. I feel you. Your difficulties will not dismay me.
Yeah, it's like a school motto.
That's lit.
That And what did you learn?
I've learned that, you as a performer or as a person, even you will remember more of your mistakes than anyone else will. Try not to carry that baggage with you. And I fall into that trap often, I think, but I wouldn't say like, don't have no self-awareness and, you know, learn from your mistakes and stuff, but don't, every time you go on, don't think like, these people are going to remember that time that I died, and then, you know, it gets into your head. And it's really like, no one gives a crap about you.
They forget like that.
Just do well now. I want entertainment. I want to forget my stuff.
For this. Give me to laugh.
Yeah.
Are you going to make me laugh?
Yeah.
You made
exactly.
me laugh. Thank you.
Yeah. Transaction
next.
Done.
Yeah. Transaction done. Sure. I got my services rendered.
So what I'm saying is, like, don't feel like you always have to be the person you were yesterday, basically. Yeah.
Sure. So profound.
Yeah, I also died recently.
That's funny.
The dying table. What have you learned about
funny.
It, Eric?
No, like you were saying with the school martyrs thing, My school motto was so dumb. It was, we can because we believe we can.
Okay, mine's better.
But it makes sense, though. It makes sense. If you believe you can do it, then there's no one that can
tell
you.
There's a variation on fake it till you make it.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, if you're going to go out there, give it your all. Don't go out and half-ass it, because then it's not going to work for you. You're not going to get what you want from it, and you're going to feel incomplete once you've done what you've done half-assedly. So much of English this morning.
This is the merman. Yeah. This is the merman coming out again. He's going back into his vernacular. When are you going to open up the Mer people's vernacular to the rest of us?
As soon as I teach all of them to speak English properly.
That'll help.
Yeah, some of them are struggling. They're just using swear words. You know how easy it is to learn a swear word in another language.
It's the first thing you learn.
It's the first thing you learn. It's the first thing. I started learning Zulu at one point, but then I messed up because I'd learned like 3 phrases. Mm. And then I quit. Yeah. So in my mind, I can speak Zulu.
Yeah,
because I use gestures with what I've learned. It means different things to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'll be.
Where did you learn it from, though? Because what I'm saying is, you don't want to go to a taxi rank and then speak like.
No. I'm not gonna go to the place where they speak the language the language. Yeah. Like, you know, in passing, like you walk into a shop and someone greets you.
Yeah,
in the language.
Yeah, exactly.
You wanna greet back? I think I'm greeting back. I don't know. I have no idea. Yeah, I'm just looking to be like, yeah, isandla ziyagezana. That just means one hand washes the other. So right? Am I wrong? No?
And he was asking which way is the
He's literally asking, how are you? And I'm telling him one hand washes the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's fun times, but obviously in different with I feel like gestures make a difference. Even if you speak a language.
This has become the profound podcast. Like, what all they're saying, one hand washes the other, the sharpest swords, all this
I've
stuff.
Died a lot, is what I'm trying to say. I've been dying. I'm trying to kill somehow, somewhere.
He simply got it.
Yeah, you can't die forever. Well, it would be weird if you do, though. Like, constantly.
I heard a story about Louis C.K. Apparently, like, he started out dying at first, and he gave up comedy for 2 years.
A lot of guys do that, actually. Mm. Like Chappelle started doing comedy. He left for 11 years.
Dang, 11?
11 motherfucking
years. Oh, is that when, after the show, hey?
Yeah.
When the media says he was going crazy.
Yeah.
I don't know the actual
left.
Facts.
Left for 11 years. Do you think that's a good thing to do? I think this will be one of the last things we talk about, because time is catching up with us. This is what happens when you arrive late, nah?
Mm. Yeah.
Now you are shortcutting yourself when the juiciness comes up. So do you think that's a good thing to do as a comedian? Do you think it's good to have a stop, do what you're doing?
I feel like I think it's for each person, I guess. Like, I feel like sometimes there could be a reason why you need some time off to find yourself and reflect and ask yourself, like, with Richard Pryor, like, when he first started, he was doing more Bill Cosby type humor, and it wasn't him.
Yeah, it wasn't him.
And then he had to go like all the way to LA. He got really dragged up, and then he started being more himself and saying crazy things. So I think it depends on the situation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, comedy can be quite cathartic and can help you, you know, with your emotions and your state of mental all that sort of thing. But if you're in such a bad place that you can't bring comedy to the stage, if you can't turn that darkness into funny, then maybe you should take a break.
That's true. Because if you think about it, if you do leave doing comedy, for example, how long have you been doing comedy now?
2 years.
2 years. You've been doing comedy for?
Technically nine.
Nine.
Yeah.
Cool. So the thing is, when you leave, you don't leave your 9 years. So, like, when you leave, you're not throwing away 9 years of comedy. Yeah. So when you come back, you're not starting from fresh. You're starting from 9 years of experience.
Mm. Yeah.
So if you do leave, it's cool to leave, because then, you know, you have the knowledge, you know what's going on stage, you know how to hold a mic. It's not like you're going to come back and hold the mic upside down. And, why is this thing not working? Guys, laugh.
Please laugh.
No, now you're doing internet jokes and stuff. No, you know better, because, I mean, you have the experience.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's where guys chicken out. And a lot of guys doing stage time. Do you think that doing more stage time helps you or breaks you down personally?
For me,
not necessarily breaks you down, but like just you feel like you're going nowhere if you're constantly on stage.
I feel like for me it helps me, because as this art, I feel like we have to practice it to get better. You learn by doing, and the more you do it, the better you get, I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to really make it as well, like I've seen from other guys, it has to be your life, man. You have to be obsessed with comedy, like. You have to do it all the time.
All
like
the time,
what Trevor and them were doing, like in New York. Like in New York, you can do like 6 gigs in one night and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I feel like South Africa's gonna grow as well eventually.
We need to get 6 gigs
in one night.
In one night. Yeah, yeah. Have you ever gigged more than once in one night?
Yes, I have twice. Yeah, when Couch used to do
African Freedom Station. Ah, blazing.
The boxing gym of comedy.
It is blazing. That is literally the boxing gym. You go there to eat punches. Like, hit me.
I'm ready. Let me go.
You have a blue eye at the next gig. Not literally, like in comedy sense. And yourself, have you ever done two in one?
Yeah, I did from a few years ago, even when I used to go down to Cape Town to tour and stuff, there was always like a good couple shows on. So I can't think of specific times and stuff. But yeah.
What was it like doing two in one night?
You feel a bit more like a rock star, you know what I mean? Like you're like, I'm in demand in more than one place.
But I mean like even doing open spots, or like jumping from one gig to another gig.
No, sure,
What was it like specifically, like when you did the one, when you left, how did you feel? When you got to the second one and you did the second one, how did you feel about both of them?
It's weird as well, because like we did, myself and Wesley, we were doing a run at the Waterfront, the Cape Town Comedy Club. The last night, I think it was a Sunday night, the crowd was just primed perfect, and Carl was hosting and he got them perfectly warm, and like we just destroyed properly, you know? And then we went through to Armchair to film the 5-minute spots for the Montreux
Comedy Festival,
and we both died. And it was like, we came in there, but that's the thing. Like that gig went so well. Wow. That gig went so well. You walk in thinking, I'm the shiz, I'm the shit. And then the guys at Armchair, they'd been filming for 2.5 hours already, and so the crowd was tired, and they were just like, and we went on with this arrogance, and then you're like,
humble.
Immediately humble.
Do you feel that helps you more than doing a gig, than dying and then having to wait 2 or 3 days to perform again and redeem yourself?
I don't know. Hey, I think you just got to figure it out and take whatever stage. If you're in the space where you're like, I'm gigging, I'm not taking a break from comedy right now. Yeah. You should take whatever stage time you can get. You really should. Yeah.
You think so? Like, if you die, say for example, you did Tavern in Maponya Mall on Tuesday night and then went from there to Kitcheners. But you died at Dove and you got to Kitcheners and you're like, you know what, fuck it, I'm just going to talk about shit. And then you kill at Kitcheners.
That's the thing, you care less now because you already have the feelings of dying already.
You know what it feels like to die. So you feel, do you feel that breaks that gap where you die on a Tuesday night, then you're like, fuck it. Yeah. I have to wait till Sunday to perform again.
Because you're only as good as your last performance. And with comedy, it's about building momentum. So the more gigs you do, the more comfortable you feel, the more confident you get, and more people hear about you, I guess.
Yeah.
I think the lesson to learn now is more is that, like, the next gig you get to, you need to give the audience the kind of courtesy of treating that as a new gig and not an extension of the last one.
Yeah.
Like, that's
so nice.
Yeah.
So profound.
So,
stop. As you guys can hear, the 7 of you listening, we have died. Many times in the past, quite 2 weeks. Yeah.
We just like making fun of ourselves. We just humble people. We kill normally. We don't want to talk like that.
Dying is nice.
Yeah, especially when all your peers are watching you.
And then they're judging you. And they're like, yo, you really thought that was funny.
You're not Simon Cowell. Leave me alone. I saw you die last week.
I didn't say shit. Shut up. Damn it. Oh, man. Yeah. That's wild. Yeah, so, I mean, that's about it. Do you guys have any questions? Just in general, like in your minds? I have one, though.
I have one before.
Okay, go. Go first. Yeah, anyway.
What's been your biggest learning experience about hosting a podcast?
Hosting a podcast?
Yeah.
Just talk, man. Talk.
Just talk.
Talk. You'll find your way. Have a structure, though. Have at least 3 questions, which I did. I had 3 questions. Then. We spoke. I mean, we filled 50 minutes. If we had 5 minutes longer, I'd be fucked. So, do you guys want to go home and play PlayStation?
I was going to say, like, can I get a lift back with you to Boxburg? That was my question.
Sure.
Because the Uber was expensive.
Oh, yeah, so you're living in Boxburg?
Damn.
Yeah.
For reals.
Oh, free accommodation, you know.
Oh, okay. Nice thing.
So
nice
save on one, cost on the other.
Nice thing.
Fix your robots, by the way.
Do you have a question before we do the wrapping up of this?
It was mostly about getting back to Boxburg.
Oh, okay.
And
I love the sincerity. Yeah. So honest, so nice. So
I'm still here, like I said, till next week Sunday. So if you want to come back next week Friday,
you can come back next week Friday. Cool, yeah, man. No problem. Yeah. Dave is here. That's cool. I have a question. You guys
know, bring beer.
Yeah.
F-bomb.
You guys. I like this guy. I like the way he swears. This is a polite swear word.
For fuck's sake.
You guys know in movies when the scene starts and then someone is telling a joke and they go, that's not a porcupine, that's my uncle.
when they come in on the punch.
I want to know the joke.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've missed out on the joke.
Mm.
Or when they start the joke and then the scene changes. The guy's so, three guys walk into a bar and... like, no, the fucking finish that. Don't leave me hanging, man.
They love doing that in those quirky shows like Community and 30 Rock.
Dope.
See, this is the problem. Telling a joke, the analogy is blowing up a balloon and popping it. So if you blow up the balloon and change the scene, now I'm like,
why is the balloon not popped? Now you're just chilling with the balloon.
If you pop a balloon,
for the rest of the movie.
If you pop a balloon, you haven't blown up. Now we're into some meta.
Yeah,
shit,
now it's
like,
did the balloon really get blown up?
The balloon was a metaphor.
The balloon has numbers inside of it. Ones and zeros. Binary is what I'm trying to say. Take a blue pill or a red pill. Now you're like, Morpheus.
Come on.
Where did you come from? Finish the damn joke. Was it really a porcupine or was it your uncle?
We need Morpheus again to turn 2016 off and on again.
That shit.
We need Neo, the one. Guys, did you guys get that? Like his name? Is one. I didn't.
Didn't you?
I was slow. You know, it hit me like after my trick. I was like, what?
But how old were you when The Matrix came out in 99?
I was 5.
Okay, so
four.
It makes sense.
Four, I was 4. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Oh, yeah,
damn.
I understood.
I
was,
now.
Yeah, you fuck. I turned 21 recently. It's lit, guys. So lit for no reason. It's lit. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening, the 7 of you. You have listened to Vui. Vui say things. Goodbye.
See you guys when I see you.
Oh, where? Paul Cowan, say
on.
Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you and get out there and eat life.
Eat life. There we go. My name is Eric Janssen. We don't know where Dave Levinson is, but when we find him, we'll bring him back to the podcast. You guys have been awesome, sharp, and aware. Enjoy your Fridays. CliffCentral.com.